Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17, we're going to read through chapter 5, verse 20. This is God's word. "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is writing to the believers. He's not writing to the population at large. He's writing to those who are in Christ. And he's telling them that if you are in Christ, it will manifest itself, and it needs to manifest itself, in a transformed life. In verse 17, our start, he says, you must not live any longer the way the Gentiles do. Now, a ton of these people were Gentiles. What if I were to say to you on the 4th of July, you must no longer live like an American? You'd say, what? What are you saying? Your identity, if you're in Christ, is not in your nationality. Your identity, if you're in Christ, is not in your ethnicity. Your identity, if you're in Christ, is not in any of the things that this world looks to as their identity. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is writing to a church that is primarily made up of Gentiles, and he says, you cannot live any longer the way the Gentiles do. And they say, that is culturally insensitive. You're trying to change who we are. No, Jesus changed who you are. And now you need to live like Jesus. Paul didn't say, you Gentiles need to become like the Jews. Paul said to the Jews, you need to become like Jesus. Paul said to the Gentiles, which was everybody who wasn't Jewish, understand that. When he says you can't live like the Gentiles, he's saying you can't live like everybody else. That's the message for us. We're living in a world that's going to hell. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. And so what God is saying to us, not just to the Ephesians long ago, to us today, is you can't live like the world. You can't live like it. Well, everybody else is doing it. Okay, well, let me give you a newsflash. Everybody else is on the broad road. They're headed for destruction. So if you're taking your clues from the culture around you and saying, well, you know, I guess if they do it, it's okay. You are headed in the wrong direction. You need to repent.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
In verse 17, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. That's a requirement. You can't live like everybody else. How do they live? In the futility of their thinking. They're not thinking clearly. Sin has always been crazy. But folks, it seems to be getting crazier and crazier. When people say there are no absolutes, what have they just stated? An absolute. Okay? I mean, that's insanity. Totally nuts. And it absolutely pervades our culture. Verse 18, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. If there was a period there, we could say, oh, Well, then it's not their fault. No, why is that ignorance in them? Due to the hardening of their hearts. They've hardened their hearts against the truth. They don't want to know the truth. This is insanity. It's what's been going on from the start. Romans 1 says they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so it's because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You know the problem with sin? It doesn't satisfy. And so you got to do more. You got to get a little more perverse. You got to drink a little more booze. You got to have a higher dosage of drugs, and you got to have it more often. These folks, he says, describing everybody, not certain individuals, he's talking about the way unsaved humans like we used to be live. And he says they've lost sensitivity, and therefore there's a continual lust for more. Because the more they try and do what feels good, that's what sensuality is. It means I'm living on the basis of my senses. I'm going by how it feels to me. And that's what our culture is all about. But it's not new. It was happening in Bible times too. But don't think that because it was happening then, I guess it's okay that it's happening now. It shouldn't surprise us that the world behaves that way, because that's the way the world has always behaved. But it's never been okay. And you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, who've been saved not on the basis of what we've done, but on the basis of His grace, go back and remember Ephesians 2. If you want to go further, read Ephesians 1. Read the whole thing. Remember, He's the one who intervened, saved us. We were dead. He made us alive in Christ Jesus. So we're not saved because of what we've done. We're saved because of what He did. And now, because of what He's done, we can't just keep living the way we were before. Verse 22. We're told we've got to put off our old self. We've got to have minds that are made new. And as a result of that, we've got to put on the new self. And that can be described in terms of righteousness and holiness. That's what we're supposed to live like. Doing the right thing because God says so. Holiness, that means we belong to Him. We're not trying to fit in and be like everybody else. You've got to put off the old and put on the new. You used to live like this. Stop that. It used to be that in this situation, you would just do what felt right. Now you know better. So you put off the old self, you put on the new self, and the result is you live a life of righteousness and holiness. And it becomes very apparent, you don't belong to this world, do you? You're not from around here. Paul does a great job here. Verse 25. You got to put off falsehood and you got to speak truth. Verse 26 and 27. You've got to resolve your anger lest you give the devil a foothold. Do you understand that if you don't handle this the way God says, you are giving Satan an opportunity in your life to set up a beachhead? You're giving him a place from which to do combat, and he's going to beat up on you. God commands us not to let the sun go down while we're angry. You've got to learn how to resolve your anger. Well, how do I do that? Well, he tells us at the end of that chapter, he says it's by forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. You and I are commanded to forgive. Well, one of the hardest things for people to understand is the difference between forgiveness and trust. If you don't already know this clearly, please write it down and learn it now. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. It's not based on what the other person deserves. It's based on grace. He says you're to forgive one another as in Christ God forgave you. God didn't forgive you because you deserved to be forgiven. He forgave you because he chose to. And on the basis of what Jesus did, he forgives. You and I have to forgive others on the basis of grace. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. Trust is not the same thing as forgiveness. And the reason that a lot of people give the devil a foothold by refusing to do what God commands and forgive those who've wronged them is because they feel like if they do, they're just going to get burned all over again. You don't have to trust that person. God doesn't command you to trust that person. God commands you to forgive that person. Well, so I can forgive them but not trust them? Yes. Well, what does that look like? Well, if a person embezzles funds from the ministry, like Judas did, and you find out about it, do you have to forgive them? Absolutely. You let them keep their job? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That would not only be irresponsible from a ministry standpoint, it would be unkind to the person who has a problem with theft. The difference between forgiveness and trust is essential, and it frees us to more readily forgive. Now, we are commanded not to let the sun go down while we're still angry. How do we do that? Forgiveness. Then he says, no more stealing. What? Why would he have to say that to Christians? He does. He says, let him who's been stealing steal no longer. He doesn't say cut back on it. He says, no more stealing. Instead, you put off the stealing. What do you put on? Hard work. Work. Doing something with your hands so that you might have something to give to those who are in need. Wow. So stealing is replaced with work and giving. Instead of being a taker, you become a giver. That's what's commanded. That's what it looks like to follow Christ. Verse 29. You've got to replace unwholesome speech with helpful speech. Verse 30, you've got to realize that as you're making these changes commanded by God, to not do so would be to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so he then gives in verse 31 kind of a laundry list of things that you've got to get rid of. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. He says, any of that stuff, out of here. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So what would be a good way of summarizing what this is about, what this change is like? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If you live a life of love, you're going to be following Jesus. And the result will be a lifestyle that is costly. It's sacrificial. This doesn't come easily. It's not like, oh, well, that's just naturally what I want to do now. No. The change is that now I have the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to myself. You know the hardest person for me to say no to? Me. And God has now come to live in me so that I no longer am a slave to my own passions and desires. Thanks be to God. So verse 3 and following of chapter 5, radical change is required. Look at the way he describes it. Among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Did you hear what he said? Not even a hint. Not even a little bit. Well, good. I mean, this isn't very much. Not even a hint. Not even a hint. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says no exceptions here. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. We have in this country tons of churches that are busily telling people it's perfectly okay to keep on sinning. You shouldn't think of it as sin. You should think of it as just the way you are. And anybody who tries to tell you other than that is a hater, and that's anti-Christian. I'm telling you, that is popular Christianity in America. Paul says, don't let anybody deceive you. Those who live that way are not part of the kingdom. Do not be partners with them. For once you were darkness. Now you are light in the Lord. He doesn't say, you know, if you keep up, do a good job, you're going to become light. He says, you are light in the Lord. And the consequence of that is that you expose the darkness. Not by going around saying, oh, that's dark, that's dark. No. The way you expose what's dark, it's by shining. Okay? You just shine. You just live for Jesus. You live a life of love. You forgive people. You tell the truth. You work hard and then share what God's blessed you with. And when you live that way, there's a huge contrast with the world. Verse 10 of chapter 5, I love. This is a great, if you want to put this in the kitchen, on the refrigerator, in the bathroom mirror, wherever you want to put it, good reminder. It says, verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. I want to do what you want. Show me what you want me to do today. That's the way we're supposed to live. And have nothing to do with, verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. It's shameful even to mention the things that some people do. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, verse 17, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That seems kind of extreme. Yes, it is. Do it. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Well, I'm not a very good singer. Well, then do it in your heart, okay? Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The life that we're called to is not a depressing, uptight thing. If you're trying to figure out how God wants you to live, just recognize you're supposed to be like Jesus. That's what you're called to. Don't take your clue from culture. Go to God's Word and say, Lord, show me what pleases you. I've come to do your will. That's what we're here for.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.